something. We rang for tomorrow and we can't do something that we needed to do in that wedding. Secondly, that I'm getting indications from the members who are here. I was asked to confirm who of you are attending the release of the crime statistics on Thursday. Can I get an indication from members?
The last night I was told that there is a special switching on the IEC thing. Is that still the case?
I know that there is sitting in the afternoon, but I would ask members to arrange with the individual parties whether they will be available for going to the release of the crime statistics. Can I ask that members please, by lunchtime today, just indicate to Gavalva whether you will be going or not. Then we don't waste any time on that. Then members can in between arrange with their parties as well. So if we can by lunchtime confirm who will be attending the release of crime statistics. Members, then the program for today is going to be, we're now going to have a briefing by the researchers. We will then, a tenor from the department will join us. We will then first do the last quarter financial report and then the first quarter financial report. The reason for that is that obviously also impacts on what we're going to do then thereafter. We will then take questions on the first at the last quarter and first quarter. Thereafter we will take the Commissioner's presentation on the restructuring of the South African Police Service and we will take questions on that. Can I remind members and visitors that we are scheduled to meet the full day? So members will have ample opportunity to ask their questions, and I would encourage that you do exactly that. Nicolette, can I hand over to you, please?
Thank you, Jefferson. Good morning, honourable member. I'm just quickly going to take members through the quarterly expenditure of the department. We will start with the fourth quarter expenditure for the 12-13 financial year. Looking at the adjusted estimates for the 12-13 financial year, the main appropriation budget increased by 903.330 million from 62.485 billion to 63.388 billion. Looking at economic classification, the current payment account increased by 1.251 billion. The transfers and subsidies increased by 1.65 million. The payments for financial assets decreased by 349.35 million rand. Looking at rollovers, an amount of 200.565 million rand has been rolled over from machinery and equipment for the implementation of projects related to the Criminal Justice Review Program. Now, members should remember that strict treasury regulations apply for the movement of money from the CJF project. So, members should ask the department from which project these funds will move. Looking at violence and shift, 267.330 million rand was shifted for the permanent appointment of security guards. 250 million was shifted from building and other fixed structures to the compensation of employees in the visible leasing program. The shift away from buildings and other fixed structures is actually against section 43 of the PFMA, but approval was obtained from Treasury for this shift. Also, there was a declared spending of 300 million on buildings and other fixed structures. That's a total amount of 550 million rand was unspent on buildings and other fixed structures at the end of the 2012-13 financial year. Looking at violence for broken three detective service, an amount of 130 million rand was reprioritized from the fund from the CJA in the goods and services account, and it was shifted towards compensation of employees for appointment of additional personnel in the forensic science laboratory environment. This vitamin from the sea-based plants is also against the regulations set up by the CFMA, as these constitute reefs or EM-marked plants. It may only be approved by the legislature in terms of the CFMA. Members of the committee should request a clear explanation from the department on this vitamin. Looking at the overall expenditure of the department in the 2012-13 financial year, they spent a total of 63.156 billion rand of the 63.38 billion adjusted appropriation. This equates to 99.6% of their total budget spend, compared to 98.9% spent in the 2011-12 financial year. The administration program aren't spending slightly, and they achieved 97.7% expenditure. Visible policing expended 100% of their budget. Security services overspend slightly. Crime diligence underspend slightly. And protection and security services also underspend slightly. Looking at economic classifications, the department also underspent slightly on the current payments and quite significantly on goods and services, with only 94.7% expenditure at the end of the financial year. Looking at farm person subsidies, the department overspent by quite a lot of money on this account. Payments for capital assets were also underspent. And the department spent 130.4% of the allocated budget on payment for capital assets. However, members should note that for both machinery and equipment and biological assets, the department overspent, while they underspent significantly on buildings and other structures, with only 87% spent at the end of the financial year. This is in comparison to 33.3% spent in the previous financial year. If we look more closely at the program, Program 1 received an adjusted appropriation of 15.933 billion and spent 15.570 billion. This is and percentage of 79.7%. Looking at top programs, the ministry only spent 86.6% of their budget. There's a significant underspending and also a continual trend. As at the end of the 11-12 financial year, the ministry only spent 80.5% of their budget. Even though this year it's a bit higher, it is still significantly low. And members should ask an explanation on this. Management also understands the top program for corporate services also understands, and the top program office accommodation also understands. Now the underspending on the entire administration program is a continual trend. In the 2010-11 year, they spent 98%. In the 11-12 year, 94.6%. The administration program also underspent on payments for capital assets at 90.3%, but they significantly overspent on transfers and subsidies at 109.3% at the end of the fourth quarter. Looking at visible policing, they received a jump to the appropriation of 29.515 billion rand. And spent 29.527 billion, which is approximately 100% spent on their budget. Looking at proper grants, crime prevention underspent slightly, border security also underspent slightly, and specialized intervention underspent by about 7.7%. Looking at economic classification, current payments underspent by 1%. Transfers and subsidies underspent significantly and only spent 89.7% of the allocated budget. and the payment for natural assets is really unexplained, with only 75% of the age allocated budget. Safety services received an adjusted appropriation of 13.54 billion rand and spent 13.693 billion, which is a slight overspend by 1.1%. The crime investigation sub-program overspends quite significantly by 5.5%. The criminal records center underspends slightly by and only spends 93.1%. And SSL also underspent, and also specialized investigation underspent. Thus, the slight overspend by the entire department is largely attributed to the crime investigation program. In this program, significantly higher than expected expenditure occurred in payments for capital assets, which was recorded at 218.73 at the end of the fourth quarter. The program also had a rollover amount of 200.565 million for the implementation of projects related to the CJS. The Crime Intelligence Program spent 99.2% of the allocated budget. Crime Intelligence Operations underspent. Intelligence and Information Management were underspent widely. Looking at economic classification, the Goods and Services account underspent. The Transfers and Subsidies account had a significant overexpenditure at 183% at the end of the fourth quarter. And this is attributed to transfers to provinces and municipalities, which spend 108.8% of the allocated budget, and transfers to households spend 190.1% of the allocated budget. Machinery and equipment underspend severely by only spending 70.3% of the allocated budget. Protection and security services spent 99.4% of the allocated budget at the end of the fourth quarter of the 2012-13 financial year. The sub-program for VIP protection services has been quite a bit by 7.7%. Static and mobile security underspent. Government security regulator overspent and operational support underspent. Members could ask why the VIP protection services and government security regulator overspent by quite a significant amount at the end of the fourth quarter. Looking at economic classification, the entire current payment account slightly underspent, while the goods and services overspent quite significantly in this program. Transfers and subsidies spend only 61.5%. This underspending is mostly attributed to the very low expenditure for transfers to households, which only spends 53.6% of their budget, which was brought up the overall expenditure from transfers to provinces and municipalities at 114.8%. The payment for capital assets, mostly made up by machinery and equipment, underspent significantly in the protection and security service program. If we look at economic classification at the end of the fourth quarter of the 2012-13 financial year, compensation for employees spent 100% of allocated budget, which is 46.8 billion rand. This is marginally lower than the planned expenditure, which occurred on programs, administration, crime intelligence, and protection and security services at 99.7, 99.2, and 99.3% respectively. The goods and services account spends 94.7% of the allocated budget. There are some concerns that members could raise, which is the expenditure on advertising, which is significantly lower at 35.7%. This is for employees, stands at 162.2% in the end of the fourth quarter. Catering at 135.2%. Consultants at 140.8%, and venues and facilities 167.4%. Buildings and other fixed structures, again, significantly underspent, and the department underspent 97% of the allocated budget at the end of the financial year. The main appropriation was $1.344 billion, of which $550 million was shifted away to leave a total adjusted appropriation of $794.557 million. Now, if violence and saving were not made on this item, the department would have only spent 51.4% of their original allocation. Visible policing and sector first program expended funds on buildings and structures against no budgetary allocation. So the committee could ask the department to explain why money or funds were spent on buildings and fixed structures in these two programs while there was no money allocated towards this item. Machinery and equipment overspent quite significantly, and they spent 123.3% at the end of the financial year. It's interesting that administration underspent, this fall underspent by quite a lot. Crime intelligence also underspent, and protection and security services also underspent quite significantly, while the tax services overspent and expended 218.7% of the allocated budget. In conclusion, for the expenditure of fourth quarter of the 12-13 financial year, the committee should focus on key areas of concern raised above on departmental spending, especially on the effective use of earmarked funds, with a specific focus on the implementation of modernization projects in the IJF and future aid environment. Departmental expenditure must be increased on the goods and services and buildings and other fixed structures accounts. The department should ideally explain the expenditure on this item for detective services and crime intelligence. Also, the year-end expenditure of the administration program is concerned, as the under expenditure on this program is a continual trend over the couple of financial years. The imbalance and shift between programs also a concern, as shift from earmarked funds for criminal justice system revamp and IJF should be interrogated further by the committee. The Minister of Finance each year on the beach of Wales provides a response to the committee's recommendation. And in the last year, that's said that he's unable to tap the violence on a rent value without amending the fees and aid. However, the Department of Police is reducing the percentage shift over the past year, and it never goes under the 8% limit. The department should also explain the other expenditure on transfers and subsidies at the end of the financial year.
I'm going to ask you to go quickly through the last one because we've got about 7 minutes left.
Thank you, Joseph. Members, the expenditure for the first quarter of the 2013-14 financial year strongly resembles that of the previous financial year, and if expenditure continues on the current track, we will have the same percentage expenditure at the end of the 2013-14 financial year as we did in the previous financial year. As members can see, the administration program again is under spending, while the section and services protection and security services is overspending slightly. Just quickly looking at economic classification, payments for capital assets is again significantly low at only 11% expenditure against a benchmark of 25%. The administration program is spending slightly below the interest rate benchmark, but it is a concern as the ministry again is only spending 17.8% of their budget at the end of the first quarter. And then again, transfers and subsidies is significantly high at 35.5% at the end of the first quarter. And visible policing is quite on track on the as per the Treasury benchmark. If only machinery and equipment that is significantly unspent at this stage at only 2.8% of a budget. And again, the visible policing program expends money on buildings and fixed structures against no budgetary allocation made for the program. Detective services is slightly ahead of spending by 0.5%. And the only thing to note here is basically goods and services that is slightly underspending, and again transfers and transfers to households but overexpending at 30.8%. The crime intervention program is on track for their spending, except for transfers and subsidies, which is significantly high at the end of the first quarter at 46.1%, and the committee should engage the department further on this expenditure. Then machinery and equipment only expended 0.2% of their budget at the end of the first quarter of the 2014 financial year. The protection and security services has again bit ahead of spending at 25.8%. And also the machinery and equipment is significantly low at 0.1% expenditure at the end of the first quarter. Then with looking at economic classification, there are some concerns as the compensation of employees at the end of the first quarter is slightly above the approved joint by 1.1%. And the expenditure on goods and services is slightly behind the approved budget. I'm just drawing members' attention to consultants, business and advisory. If the expenditure is 34.6%, consultants for laboratory services is 238.6% against a projected expenditure of 21.2%. at the end of the first quarter, which is significantly high, and the committee should interrogate the department on this expenditure. Also, consultants on legal costs is 78% at the end of the first quarter. Consultants infrastructure and planning is only 0.4% at the end of the first quarter. Catering for departmental activities is 20.8% against a projected spending of 12.1%. The inventory for food supplies is 7.1% against the projected expenditure of 41.6%, which is significantly low. Also, the operating payment is significantly low. Payments for machinery and equipment is also significantly low at and they only expended by 9.1% at the end of the third quarter. Buildings and other fixed structures is also only at 10.8% at the end of the third quarter. Then just looking quickly at EMAS funds. And this is a continual problem with the department. The bulk funds from the National Department of Public Works. Of the unspending construction and upgrading of police stations, unspent 17.2%, and a total of 305 million or 14.8% of the earmarked amount was spent on the CJ revamp and modernization program at the end of June 2013. The spend is lower than the previous year, spending at 18.5%. Members, in conclusion, the expenditure recorded at the end of the third quarter for the 13-14 financial year. Strongly resemble that of the previous financial year. There's been a trend, especially in terms of borrowing, EMR funds, buildings and other fixed structures, goods and services, machinery and equipment, and I should also add transfers and subsidies to households. The committee should strongly interrogate recorded spending on consultants within the goods and services account of the department, especially on laboratory expenses that expended 238.6% of the budget at the end of the first quarter, and also on legal costs that expended 78% of the budget at the end of the first quarter. Thank you, members.
Can I again thank you very much, Nicolette, and again thank you to the research unit for helping us with this. Can I get an indication, is there any questions of clarity? Or can we call in the department and we can put the questions to them when after their presentation? Okay. We will do so. Okay, they can come in. Thanks. Can you hold the department in, please? Then I'll say, can the people come in, please, that we can start? Are they here? Okay. Let them come in, please. Can we ask that you sit here in front so that we can see you? Come in, please. Can we take our seats so that we can start, please? About basically three things. The first one is the last financial quarter of the previous financial year and the first quarter of this financial year. It's a legal requirement that before we start we are asked to also do this, and this is what we're going to start with. Thereafter we're going to take questions on that presentation, and then we will go into the presentation on the restructuring that was announced in August, and we will take questions on that. Time allowing, and I would like the department to remain for that session, please. We will also go through the recommendations made by this committee over the past 5 years. As part of our legacy report for the next parliament, we need to look at that, and as a committee we also need to adopt that. In starting the meeting, I want to welcome the National Commissioner and her team. It is the first time this year that the National Commissioner is able to be here, and we know that she's been busy with Marikana at the time of the budget hearing, and thereafter the committee itself was busy with legislation around the forensic science laboratories. For the committee not to see the management more, but we had a very busy legislative year as well. We're most likely going to have some more legislation as we carry on. I also want to take the opportunity to congratulate some of the positive reports that we have seen in the paper, for instance, the undercover operations that uncovered some police officers and led to the arrest of them. After they get some rights, we want to see such acting against their own bad elements, and we want to congratulate them. But I also want to condemn, in the strongest possible terms, the attack in Limpopo against a police officer, which seems to be racially motivated as well. Killing of police officers is a concern for this committee, and it should be a concern for every South African citizen as well. And where we have these kinds of attacks, as political leadership, I think the committee needs to express in the strongest possible terms its disgust in that attack and call on the courts to act swiftly and decisively in the matter. Commissioner, we're going to start with the financial reports, as I indicated. Now, I must say, I received a letter from your office and I was expecting 5 people. I don't know whether the rest of the people who are here are carrying the suitcases or what, but can you please, before we start, introduce your team to the committee, and then we will take a presentation from Commissioner Sitter, I presume, on the finances, please.
Thank you very much for the warm welcome, and indeed it is also a pleasure for me to be at this committee once more after staying away for such a long time. But I'm also aware that my members have been here and were responding to the requests that were coming from this committee, and I want to assure you that at all times, as a leader of this environment, I'm always available to come and account to this committee. The team I'm having, they're not necessarily carrying suitcases. You would recall, Chairperson, that as you appropriately stated, there are questions that we had to answer for the 5 years. So I took liberty that should we get into that space, members who are responsible for answering those questions would be here to be able to do so. That is why the team that I have today. Let me introduce the team that I'm with. And also take the opportunity of introducing the senior leadership that, as you stated earlier on, that was announced in August. I have the Deputy National Commissioner for Policing, General Soli. I also have the Lieutenant General Skete, who is the Deputy National Commissioner for Resource Management. I have Lieutenant General Maziluko, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Human Resources. Lieutenant Makhale, General Makhale, who is the head of our Communications Stakeholder Relations.
Members, please, can I ask that you just indicate where you are? I mean, there are a lot of new faces, so can you just indicate to members where you sit and the members, that the officials that are being introduced by the Commissioner?
I'm with Lieutenant General Cruiser, who is the head of our supply chain. Lieutenant General Mochiba, who is the acting Provincial Commissioner for Housing as well as Divisional Commissioner for Visual Policing. I don't know if General Lamour is here. Not yet. Major General Nyalungu, acting Divisional Commissioner for Human Resource Development. Major General Mabunda, acting Divisional Commissioner for Technology Management. Brigadier Malasera, for the Executive Secretariat, Lieutenant Colonel Spain, who assists us with parliamentary issues. And then Major General Ngoka from FSL, and Major General Mahato from our organizational development. And then I have Brigadier Maluk from our HR department in charge of a disciplinary processes. Thank you. And then Major Lieutenant General Chavalala from our inspectorate has just come in. And then Lieutenant General Muni, Detective Services. As I said, Chairperson, there's many questions have been asked to answer. That's why I have a team here.
Well, we welcome the team. I was just commenting on the fact that the letter indicated otherwise. So that's the only issue. Okay. Can we start then with the presentation? Commissioner was leading us in that. The financial one, please.
I'll introduce it. Chairperson, once more, thank you. You have requested that we brief you on our first quarter financial report. You have received our presentation, and General, Lieutenant General Kitchen will lead us through the presentation that is before you. General Kitchen, over to you.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Chairperson. We have been tasked by the committee to present the figures and the financial status put off in 1340 financial year. Now, my ideas indicate that it is indeed very important that these figures be presented to the committee and that the committee keep track of these figures as our legislative oversight body. Normally start with these figures in terms of our classification. Now, members who have been in this committee for quite a long time are probably bored with it by this point in time, but it's just to reiterate once again that you can divide any figure into a number of categories, so to speak. Now, the first category, which one will find in the estimates of national expenditure, is objective structure, and it relates to your program, sub-programs, elements and activities. That is what we exactly say there. Programs represent the general purposes. It is functional of nature. It reflects functionality in the world. Then your items, your goods and services, or your economic classification, which relates to compensation, goods and services, small items and goods and services, capital can be divided into a number of aspects. And as goods and services, you use to pursue your objective structure. Very important aspect in this regard, Kevin. If we then look at the program structure, now obviously we will do during legislative oversight, I presume in somewhere in October, middle, beginning, end of October, we will do this more in depth, but the fact of the matter is there's a number of financial statements that one can compile and must compile and submit it before the end of September after it has been audited. Obviously, it normally comprises approximately 42 pages in the annual report. Be that as it may, very important aspect is where we take this objective structure and we categorize the figures against budgetary figures in order to see the actual and the variance in this regard. Now, if one look at the variances in this regard, at the end of the financial year, one would see Program 1 administration at 97.7% expenditure vis-a-vis budget, this fall at 100% rounded off against expenditure. The detective services, 101.1. Program 4, crime intelligence, 99.2. And Program 5, protection and security at 99.4, giving one at 99.6%. We will elaborate and refer now to the variances in this regard. But if we look at the 63.388 billion budget as voted by Parliament vis-a-vis the 63.156 billion expenditure level, it constitutes 99.6% in this regard. Now we will look at some of the overs and unders in this regard. Program 1, a net underspending realized as a result of the full amount allocated for buildings and other infrastructure not being utilized fully and goods and services emanating from a reduced spending level on network and hosting services amongst others. Program 2, visible policing, due to the increase in fuel oil, goods and services realized a net overspending on allocated funding. Program 3, detective services, with a specific focus on enhancing the detective services capacity, general detectives, funding was required for this program for compensation, goods and services, and capital purchases, machinery and equipment. Simultaneously, this program where you had overs and on certain aspects, you also had unders in terms of the CHS, which gives you to make under in this regard. Then program 4, crime intelligence, a highly intensive personnel program. The net variance was mainly for less capital purchases than initially anticipated. And in the program 5, protection and security services, the net variance was mainly for low spending level under compensation of employees. This, in essence, is the net result of movement within the program, which constituted in either an over or an under in terms of budget vis-a-vis actual expenditure. Yeah. If one depicts these matters in pie charts, in a graphic manner, one will immediately see that there's a number of circles pie charts. And the fact of the matter is then to see what had happened, visually speaking, in terms of the programs and the totals for the vote. Program 1, blue one, then indicates a 2.3 under. Visible policing, a 0%. Detective services, a 1.1%. 101.1. Crime intelligence, 0.8%. Protection and security services 0.6% and in total 0.4%. Maybe just say that the vote has a history of full expenditure and in the past financially, not the past, they never told financially, there was her under expenditure, and then in this financial year also her under expenditure comprised by specifically the CJS. But the under expenditure has been decreased significantly, although the intention was also to work to a 100% expenditure in this regard. We will come to these aspects a bit later. Now, when we get to the economic classification, it's also a good thing to indicate a narrative in terms of the different classification and sub-classifications. The reason being that this economic classification can go up to 1,200 items and small items with summarized levels and lower levels in this regard. But normally speaking, one would see that the current payments, as members fully know, mainly consist of compensation and then your goods and services categories. Now, operational expenses are provided for fuel, oil, small tools, equipment, travel, subsistence, communication, and so forth. And then we have our transfers and subsidy environment, and which consists of the provinces and municipalities, the departmental agencies, and then also the households. And then we have the capital expenditure consisting mainly of machinery and equipment, as well as buildings and other fixed structures. Those are the summary or summarized SCOA items which we refer to, which are of importance and which are being tracked by National Treasury, Parliament, and other external assessors in this regard. Now, if we then look at the economic classification, the figures will be as follows. Okay. One will immediately see that the current expenditure compensation of employees came in at 100%, goods and services below 100 at 94.7, transfers and subsidies in total at 114.6, provincial and local, which are the licenses to a large extent, at 117, departmental agencies and accounts, the societal payments, and then the households, where you had also the civil claim environment and payments in terms of civil claims environment, which came in bigger in this regard. Then you have the payment for capital items at 113.4, of which buildings and fixed structures 794, visiting 691 at 87, machinery and equipment at 123, biological assets at 350,322,000 rand, and then financial transactions and assets and liabilities where debt has been written off. That provides a 99.6%. Now let's look at the variances and what caused some of the variances in this regard. Total spending in the local comprises 99.6 of allocated budget that we have already indicated. The unspent amount of 232.096 million relates to monies allocated and specifically appropriated for the criminal justice system project and a marginal surplus of 14.568 million. We sit with the earmarked amount, a significant amount in the vote relating to CJS, and the CJS expenditure was under with 232 million. In the previous financial year, this amount was in the vicinity of 315 million, which also included some capital expenditures. This time, no capital expenditures above the earmarked amount was provided back, and other capital expenditure were engaging. Compensation of employees, actual spending for the period comprises 100% of the allocated budget. Members must please remember that the expenditure level of compensation in the total vote is approximately 74%, so 74% was spent on compensation, of which 100% was spent. Then also the goods and services, 94.7% of allocated budget, spending less as a result of CJS. If you don't spend your CJS and your network expenditure, which is under goods and services, then obviously the goods and services allocation will then be reduced in terms of, it will be a variance in terms of spending versus the budgets in this regard. So CJS was the cause that goods and services, the main cause that goods and services under expended in this regard. These are transfers and subsidies. I think transfers and subsidies, taking into account percentage variances, and specifically regarding households, relates to basically an over expenditure on civil claims, which increased quite significantly and is some concern to the department. Then also the payment for capital assets comprises 113.4% of the allocated budget, and as is indicated, we have expended more than in the budget because of funds that we used in this regard. Also, the reclassification, what was initially destined for something in the sense that it became a capital expenditure. Now, capital assets is always a good thing to expend on capital assets because it is work creation related and it forms capital and wealth in terms of the broader economic context. If I want to then basically conclude or summarize, the biggest cause for under expenditure in terms of goods and services was the CJS, the compensation was on target, and the transfers and subsidies, the biggest cause for the over in terms of the specific small item was actually civil claims and then camp payment of capital assets, which came in at 113.4%. So there are two causes for the unders, CJS as well as then the Adobe in terms of civil claims. Kevin? If we look at the actual monthly spending, because one of the assessments that's been made by various entities, inter alia also Parliament, is to look at quarterly expenditure. Now, quarterly expenditure, as we all know, if we take it precisely linear, is 25, 25, 25, 25, or you can do it 25, 50, 75, 100%. Now, cumulatively speaking, just, you know, reflective of comparatively speaking, you know, against previous financial years, one would immediately see that, in essence, the trend is similar in this regard. One of the big aspects is also that some of your improved of conditions of service, such as salary increases, which are negotiated in the Public Service Bargaining Council, are being the main portion of being spent in your second and even third quarters when it is being implemented. Although with back pay, it is bulk spending after the first quarter. Then also your legal deliveries mainly take place in your third and fourth quarters in a financial year. The reason being that RT 57 normally comes into being during February, during March, even April, which the Treasury puts in place for us then to audit legals. Then obviously certain other capital expenditures comes into being in the latter part of the financial year. Your salary and those kind of recurring expenses usually have some sort of a flatline trend in terms of monthly expenditures. This is merely to indicate to members and the percentages is there that what the trend is comparative to previous financial years. A very important aspect, which obviously a number of people and a number of entities have significant interest in, is the whole property environment, if we can call it like that. And one would immediately see that it is a 3.6 billion environment, quite significant of nature. Now, we all know that in the past two financial years, we had some delivery challenges in terms of the capital works environment and not so much the other aspects. What one see here is the maintenance of property rates. It came in at 88.3%, municipal services at 113.4%, property leases at 100.7%, which gives one a percentage of 98.9%. May I just say that for all three of those, the delivery arrangement is with DPW, that we pay DPW, and DPW then pay the local municipality or the landlord or whatever. This is the prescribed model which we are bound to and which we use as put in place by DPW in conjunction with the National Treasury in this regard. May I just, when we get to the first quarter of the next financial year, I would just like to indicate to members is normally your lease is lagging a bit behind because of the fact that you are always to a large extent 1 month behind, but be that as it may, the fact of the matter is, and it came in quite nicely at 100.7%. Municipal services, I think the whole of government are still refining the baseline because that is all, you know, about the municipal services that one receives, and then also the maintenance of the property rates, which we are, local authorities, both DPW, cover the money from us, and we make reimbursed payments in this regard. And then the capital works was the 794, which we put as a budget, of which I think 683 million was earmarked. We did indeed expend the 683, because we expended 691 million of the 794. So the earmarked amount was expended in terms of the
capital works was not expended in full. That brings one then, you know, to an expenditure, total expenditure weight of 96.3% for the property portfolio in this regard. We will come to the capital works, and we expect also members to ask questions in this regard. But the capital works, although not where we wanted to be, much better than the previous financial year, with a number of reasons contributed to under expenditures. Please note, 683 million was earmarked for capital works, buildings and fixed structures, of which a full amount was indeed expended in terms of the earmarking, but not in terms of the budgeted amount. The budgeted amount which we had in place was more. Kevin. Now, what did we do? And I think there's a number of people that should also, when the key question probably arises, should also, indicate. The fact of the matter is various meetings with DPW, including a NACOM to DG meeting, there was also a political level. Significant monitoring, relation, interaction on projects. There were higher order, lower order teams and so forth. We also requested them to populate the key works control system on which we are very dependent upon in order to see how projects are flowing in terms of what status the project is and what funds are going to realize, to also populate that for us in a more updated manner so that the tracking is much easier, because time delays a 12-month period are very easy to catch you out, and at the end of the day, you sit in the third quarter and you see the project is still very, very low in terms of estimates. Specific purpose visits and inspections were conducted. That was also the alternative items were considered and introduced in terms of expenditure items, and then also personal involvement by the accounting officer and senior management. It is a very important aspect that I think we sit a bit with a legacy in the sense that apart from various reasons, some priorities were changed in previous financial years. Now, we all know that the moment you change the project, you go into planning phase, your expenditure is lower, you need to get into the construction phase where your expenditure is higher. The moment you have your construction phase, your expenditure is higher. Now, if you change priorities the whole time, you remain in planning phases. If you change from one to the other, but I think we have brought about this consistency where we say if that project is now on the register, we change that project and we monitor that project and we go for that project, which I believe will brought about the improvement and will even the current financial year improve much, bring about more improvement in terms of spending on specific items. And I know also the concern of this committee in terms of the lack or the underperformance in terms of building police stations. Those are the things that have been done in the previous financial year in order to affect, but we are to a large extent also dependent upon a third party in this regard. Then another challenge which we had in previous financial years, and which we assume a lot of people are, and ourselves are very much interested in, is the whole CJS environment. Now, previously in the past financial year, the CJS environment had a significant under expenditure because of delivery mechanisms which were not in place and probably insufficient or inadequate planning regarding specific projects. I think also the finalization of the DNA bill and the DNA whole scenario of in the current financial, which form a big part of the CJS and even IJS, will also contribute to improve spending in the 13-14 financial year. The fact of the matter is, it so came in lower. The 232 million comes from that first line item CJS, and came in much lower than what we would have wanted. It should have been 100% expenditure in this regard, and because it's earmarked funds, you can't use it or divert it to other priorities. The moment you don't use it for this specific purpose, the fact of the matter is you have to deposit back into the National Revenue Fund to be either to compete with other priorities in the subsequent financial year. And then the integrated justice system, of which in a rounding of terms 100% was extended. This was this whole CJS, IJS, which is treasury these days called only sort of CJS. They don't differentiate, we still differentiate to a certain extent. It's 90.5% expenditure, which is not exactly the target that we set for ourselves, but it's much better than the previous financial year. As I've said, the C, TJS, there where it says program 3, line item 21431910, that is, the difference between the two is the under-expenditure for the about 232. If we then go to program 1 administration and we look at the adjusted estimates versus the actual, one would immediately see that the military was at 86.6%, management at 95.5%, corporate services at 97.7%, and then office accommodation at 98.2%. May I just indicate, please, ladies and gentlemen, that 21.2% is an incorrect figure. It came from the first quarter when we used the template. It's 97.7%. So just break that 21.2% to 97.7%, please. It is actually the percentage from the first quarter when we used the template. So we say the underspending regarding capital works and network and hosting under corporate services contributed to a large extent to the under-expenditure in this regard. Those are the two main aspects. Because they were under, they contributed. Program 2, please, Kevin. Then we look at Program 2, visible policing, a very, very big program. We look at crime prevention. Came in quite nicely at 99.5%. Border security even at 98.2%. And then specialized interventions and for self-explanatory reasons, because specialized interventions include all the ops people and those aspects. We have to provide because deployment levels were much more than what we anticipated in that specific financial year. It just came in higher. And we had to, and because it's such a high priority, we had to provide. So this is, we say, fuel and oil experience, a number of price increases, which also impacted on expenditure levels. I know I have reiterated in the past, we use a significant amount of fuel and oil on a fleet of, you know, approximately 50,000 vehicles, and the slightest price increase obviously has scale impact, significant scale impact, shall I say. Now, this could, to a large extent, impact also then on Program 2, this poll where we have a lot of vehicles that are doing responses and so forth. If we go to Program 3, detective services, one will immediately see that crime investigations, and General Muno, I have to refer to general investigations, and I know you don't like it, and I apologize in advance, but crime investigations is just in the narrative in terms of how we refer to it sometimes. Then we have the Criminal Record Center, and we have the Forensic Science Laboratories. Can you see at the CRC and at the FSL, it's 93 and 94. Those unders there are reflected by the CJS because the CJS plays with the FSL and CRC to a large extent. And that is where the unders are, is CJS that's under there. Then also specialized investigations, which are the DBCI, which came in at 98.7%, 1.226 billion, 1.210 billion, which is still actually an adequate performance level on the DBCI side. We say then that underspending on CRC and forensic science laboratory as a result of underspending of CJS funds. Machinery and equipment were significantly enhanced, also transport assets within the investigative environments, and we really try, also because it's also an operational element on FSL CRC, we really try and I think have also done so in recent financial years to modernize and capacitate the CRC and the FSL to a significant extent and make them make them ready for what is coming in terms of the new drive in terms of crime scene management, the seven principles as approved by Parliament 2 or 3 years ago. So this in essence is an overview of Program 3, the Road Detective Services. Yeah. If we go to Program 4, Crime Intelligence, Spending Performance, one would immediately see that it came in two sub-programs, 98.3% and 99.8%, which gives from 99.2%, and the slight net variance is less capital purchase than initially anticipated in this regard. Next one. Program 5, Protection and Security Services, the spending performance, EIP Protection Services at 107.7%, static and mobile security 93.3%, government security regulator at 105%, 0.1%, and then operational support at 93.2%, gives one at 99.4%, and the outspending in some environments as a result of price increases on fuel and oil as a primary cost driver in this regard. That is basically in terms of the previous financial year, 12-30. Give me the next one. Thank you. Jefferson, maybe I should complete the first quarter as well.
Can I hear from you? Would you like the first quarter as well, and then we take joint questions, or would you like to take questions now? Let's do that, because there is definitely some questions that need to be asked. Can I see in the times we have the same ruling again? We put two questions. We ask the department to answer the questions in the order that the questions were asked. Two questions per member. Honourable Groenewald, Honourable Molebati, Honourable George, and Honourable De Geto in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have only one question, and I want to ask the National Commissioner. Commissioner, if you look at the expenditure of the last quarter, what are your three main concerns as National Commissioner that you find in that last quarter's expenditure, and how are you addressing it? Thank you.
Molebati.
On program one, you have declared pain. What does it entail? That's just.
Honourable George.
Madam Chair, my first question is on households. I see the general as the tabloid, but I'm interested in the civil case. How much are the civil claims, or what are the costs? If you can break out those civil claims. The second one is the property disease, and what you call the, I see they had a meeting with Public Works and all that. And my question is this the only thing they're going to do? Because this is a problem that has been existing for the last 2 decades. Is there no initiative, perhaps? Because if they don't do anything, they only depend on Public Works. I must be honest, with all due respect to Public Works is like flogging a dead horse. So what is it that they are doing in Public Works as the police to make sure that there are decent police stations, there are decent infrastructure for the police?
Thanks. Let me thank the presentation. Program 5, Protection and Security Services. You know, you've got understanding on slide number 10. You've got underspending on taking mobile security as well as operational support. So that 93, just worked about this underspending. You've got more underspending than anything else. How do you correct this underspending strategy? Thanks.
Honourable Global.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just wanted to know, on the leases, what's going on the leases? Why are your human resource is always local? What is the problem? That is the first thing. Secondly, it seems if there is a equal spending on human resources, but you see that some of the people are being not disciplined and they are staying at home for quite a while. What is going on? Can you just elaborate that, Constitutional Commissioner? Thank you very much.
I urge members to restrict their questions to issues of finances. We are going to have annual report, and then we can take the discussion broader. Not taking questions from members of the public. Not how Parliament operates. Not how Parliament operates. I've got two questions myself that I want to ask. The first question is, Commissioner Skutt, I heard you clearly speaking about the understanding in the CJS, IJS environment. And quite frankly, if we go to that slide, there's been a virulence from that environment as well. So the understanding is actually more significant than the slide is indicating. But what concerns me is your reference to the DNA bill as being the one that will make sure that this funding is now better spent in the coming financial year. We all know that this is not the only project that should be funded by the CJS, IJS arena. In fact, the major concern for us is the integrated justice system, the e-dockets, which we have seen absolutely no movement on. And I would like to know, I mean, I honestly don't believe that one can say we're now going to see better spending because of the DNA bill that's been passed. In fact, your own department and your own people who came to this committee to present to this committee the implementation plan said a period of 4 years is needed before they will be able to fully implement this. And that is where the expenditure is going, the technological solutions. So I want to clearly understand what this money was spent on, why the underspending, continuous underspending, continuous. I mean, in the past 2 years, ₹500 million was given back to Treasury by this department on those two items. More than ₹500 million, in fact. Second question that I have is I'm very concerned also that the over-expenditure in your consultant environment, 140%. Can we get an explanation on that? Because that's a significant overexpenditure. And also knowing that the Auditor General did find some problems in terms of the management of consultants within the South African police environment, what are we doing to correct that? Can we have the answers in that order, please? Your question, Honourable Monabati.
In Program 1, there is a declared sale. What is it? Okay. Thank you for those questions. Honourable Monabati, you asked about my three main concerns as these results are now, for the four results I gave. I think first and foremost, I want to say when I came here last year, when the expenditure was at 98.9, I promised this committee that I shall drive spend, because in an environment where we need resources as much as we do, it was unacceptable for me to see us spending at that level, particularly for a department that has been spending so well. I'm glad that we came at 99.6. Yes, it is not what I call optimal. We still need to deal with the IJS-CJS issues. But I'm very happy that we managed to drive the spend. What I promised, I started working on. The second issue is that what I have introduced in this department is what I call participative financial planning and management, because the various respective leaders, commanders in the various environments take primary responsibility for their own spend. It wants him for General Skete to plan and for him to monitor and evaluate how monies are being spent, but it is very, very critical for the respective members who have developed strategies and asked for resources to ensure that they spend what they have requested for. And I'm glad that that is taking shape. I have also introduced what I call a finance committee where these members are participating, because it is only when they understand their responsibilities and their roles that we are able to do this. And I want to be thankful to the various commanders, because when we set up committees to actually push this spend, the task team to start saying, in your environment we consent, please move, make sure that the services that were given are used effectively and efficiently. And for that, I want to say one of the comments that I would give you is that I am happy that there is that realization, there is that participation. The IJS issues are of great concern to me. And I can also maybe couple it with a question that has been asked earlier on around what you are doing around issues of e-documents and all this. I can almost say it's an area that I've given my very, very primary attention. I'd like to see us taking the police stations in the next 2 years and finishing off that. I'm glad that Peter has actually published the tender, and the tender for cabling is out, and we are hard at work to ensure that we take whatever penny that we have that is spent to cable the police stations, because it is the very first step of ensuring that this e-policing, e-docase process is delivered. So I want to say to you, it is my concern, and I give it my very, very primary attention. Thank you. May I ask General Secretary to deal with question two from Memam Liberty, as well as the question on civil claims, General Secretary?
I'll give you an opportunity to do so just after that answer, Honourable Liberty. Just hold on to it, please.
General Secretary, can you take question two and three?
Precisely sure, but she's, the Honourable Member will just provide to me what the exact question was. On the savings. Chair, as we indicated, and under expenditure, we provided certain budget for capital works, of which a threshold was earmarked by the National Treasury. We did expend on the threshold, but we did not expend the full amount for the budget for the capital works environment, which related then to an under expenditure to a certain amount, which then contributed to the under in program one, and then also the hosting and network infrastructure. The amount was not spent in full, the reason being that a contract was only put in place during the course of the financial year, so there was not full year, but the contract is now in place. So it was basically the under spending was on the hosting network and on the capital works in this regard. In terms of the civil claims, I would just like to indicate, I think it's the Honourable Dodge who requested this this aspect. On civil claims, we expended 104 million. 204 million that was settled by the department. If I refer to settlement, it also includes a judgment by court. And a lot of those, the majority of those, are actually court judgments. The reason being that settlement refers to conclusion in legal terms. It was 204 million that was expended in 12-13 on civil claims in this regard. If I look at the civil claim, that is basically the... May I also indicate the annual report would be submitted before the end of September to the by the Minister. We can either provide a breakdown to the Honourable Member before that, or otherwise Annexure 4 of that report will contain a breakdown in terms of the type of civil claim and the expenditure in this regard. But it is possible that I can provide it to you if you require it on a short notice or before the end of the day or so forth. But the amount is 204 million that was spent on civil claims in this regard. General, shall I then come in later? Thank you.
Can I just follow on the civil claims? Let me inform the House through you, Chairperson, that one of the things I instituted since I came in is the production of a litigation report, a monthly litigation report that slices and dices the information by region, by province, by police station, because it is my belief that it is not a cost that we should leave just as a runaway cost. Yes, there are very intricate processes in policing that are litigious in nature, but ordinarily I also believe that there are other behavioral and conduct issues that may be diverse in terms of our litigation. It is for that reason that I called for the monthly production of a litigation report, which is a management information tool that is used by management, because I require the provincial commissioners to use it as a tool to assess where the problems are coming from and to ensure that they intervene appropriately in terms of it. We also use it for the second purpose, because not only is it a financial burden for the organization, it also impacts us in terms of our reputation and image. So we're using the tool to also look at the reputation and image that derived from there. We also check our media to check which of the stories have actually raised negative or positive, returns for us as an organization. So the litigation report is a management tool that we discuss at the NMF, it discusses the executive committees, so we are actively managing the environment within SAP. Question four was around the property leases, and the issues that were raised were that there have been a problem for the past 2 decades. And I'm sure General Skete and General Kruger will come in on this one. But maybe to raise it, in the report that General Skete has given, indeed, we have taken a very active role in reaching out to public works. Unfortunately, our relationship with public works is legislated. It is not something that we can easily get out of, much as we appreciate the constraints that are sitting in that relationship. We do have to comply with what are the legislative and regulatory requirements in terms of the relationship. What I may make advance is the fact that we are trying to negotiate with them because there's opportunity for development in some areas, albeit be limited. We're trying to look at what sort of functions can they extend further for development so that we can handle that which we can. We have reported to this committee in the past, for instance, the issue around the generator, to say some were devolved to us. We performed much better than public works, and we've said to them, having proven our capacity to be able to handle some such aspects, they can increase a little bit more of their function so that we can assist once they're trying to sort themselves out. Issue of leases where we are locked out, again, we almost become very helpless. There are no, early warning triggers. There are early warning triggers, we would go to public works, but until they get their act together in terms of their turnaround strategy, we will always be, getting the negative side of those processes. But I must say, if I compare the number of lockouts to when I started in SAPS and now, we seem to be making some progress. We are talking with the DG. We are having teams that are working together. The progress is slightly slow, but at least there is activity taking place. There are minister-to-minister engagements on this one. We are really prioritizing this area and giving it our serious attention. We do hope that somewhere, somehow we'll be able to resolve some of those things. We've also started negotiating to say perhaps we should be allowed to do a little bit more that can allow us maybe even just to paint our CSC, because in some of the instances we can't even paint a VSC, no matter how dirty it is, even through donations, because of the relationship and the legislation that binds us as a client of DPW. And we are almost 45%, we are the client that contributes towards 45% of their work. So we are the largest client that they have, and it's a pity that we are having this discourse. I don't know if General Chris, are you glad to say something, and then I'll get into this.
Thanks, thanks, Chair. Chair, yeah, there's a serious challenge around the leasing environment, around the general strategy of office works. They have appointed consultants, and we're in a task team now with the consultants under the auspices of the two ministers. We are starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. It's going slowly, but I think there's some progress now after a number of meetings around the issue. We are here in terms of stipulating to public works when our lease would expire. We informed them the year before the time, so we're on track in terms of informing them when our lease would expire. They have gone to Treasury now because they have allowed all the leases to lapse. Now they have to go on an open process. They have approached Treasury for alternative process itself. And the reports I got at Treasury is one favorable to address the crisis itself. So we think the issue of lockouts, what Treasury response, should be resolved in terms of preferential procurement until they go through we'll stay busy with the process of dealing with corruption around every single lease itself. And that might take a number of years looking at alternatives. So I say on the issue of leases, I think we do have an issue of improvement itself. Around the issue with the next committee raised on painting and tiles and building carpets, we have applied to them to increase the scope of day-to-day. Because presently the scope of day-to-day doesn't allow us to paint or change the tiles or things like that. It only allows us to do this if a pipe breaks or a tap breaks or the roof leaks. They are looking at that, and then they said in the next meeting they will look and see if they can improve the scope so we can address the day-to-day issues at the station around basic cleanliness, around painting and maintenance of the CAC and other things in our stations. But they also appointed 7 consultants from their side to deal specifically with SEPs, infrastructure programs itself. And we are having weekly meetings with these consultants. I think they, again, although slow, we're starting to see, we're going with the consultants to all the sites to look at the problems. We're starting to see a further improvement in our expenditure last year, this year, seems to be going a bit better itself. So I think the mechanisms are going slowly, but it's going a bit better than we did last year, I think. So we will continue to engage them around improving what we can do to improve delivery at our stations. Thanks.
Thank you very much, General. I've touched a little bit on the issues of leases and lockouts. We're experiencing them less and less, and as they do, we really do beat the drum because it's nothing but an inconvenience in terms of our service delivery. So we hope that through the processes that General Cruiser has mentioned, we will try and advance our service interest as such. On issues around discipline and members that are at home, I unfortunately did not prepare numbers in terms of that. I'm sure we could be able to write and tell what numbers we're talking about, how we're dealing with those issues, how we're responding to the transversal indicators that have been given by the government's MME. We shall request the chairperson that we write and respond to that question. Chairperson, you touched on the issue of the CJS underspending. It is indeed, as I've already stated earlier on, it is indeed an area that we would like to put our efforts on, and indeed the DNA bill cannot be the new baby on the block that is going to drive spending in that area. There are many things that we need to deal with. The whole issue of e-policy is top of my agenda because it is when we have a well-oiled e-policing system that we would be able to connect at ease and be able to share information better, and our management information would be enhanced and assist us to deliver our services. And it is for this reason that we have started as a JDPS to focus on this matter, to look at integrated evaluation of delivery around these issues of CJS and IJS. So there is a very primary and intense focus on that as the JCPS cluster. But I've not only left it at that, we've had bilateral workshops with the Department of Justice because we were starting to see how do we look at the transversal or common areas where we can work together much better. They have set up a project management center within the DOJ, and we're starting to find our responsibility so that we transfer that which belongs to that project management center for all of us because they share the JCPS. So there is a lot of work that is taking place in that area. We have prioritized our projects, and this is why I'm able to say to this committee today that every little penny that we save, even if it means postponing certain projects, we will direct the money towards cabling the police stations because it is, if we don't finish that, it's the basis upon which the CJS and our e-policing and our e-docketing is going to work. We will be going to Mamelodi soon to just go as an NMF team to NMF team to go and see, you know, because we will ask MS to say, give us a pilot, just take us somewhere else where you can show us live how this e-docket works, because we take it beyond just the scanning of files. We want to see the whole ICDM process working. So we will be going to resolve at the NMS the last NMS that we had, that we're all going to Mamelodi to go and see that for ourselves. But I want to say to you, Chairperson, I am giving that a primary focus, and I'm hoping to be here at some point to progress on how we are now fast-tracking and advancing that process. On the issues of consulting, I will ask Andrew Skater to reflect on that overspending, but also to just say, Chairperson, indeed you're right. We were here with the AG on issues of consultants, and I think if I look at staff and I look at the use of consultants in a true sense of the word, not suppliers, because we had an issue around whether we are looking at the same set of things, suppliers and consultants. I think it's an area that we're also giving attention to, and I can almost say I have a sense that there isn't an abuse of that service itself. But I'd like General Skater to comment on the 140% that you alluded to, Chairperson. General Skater.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I should just add, because the Chairperson also asked in terms of the CJ's underspending. But let's do the consultants one first. Yes, the consultants, we have appeared indeed for four subject matters, which was Tetra, Nihalas, ABET, and another one as well, a firearm control system. All of them are getting attention in terms, in order to draw a red line. To make it short and direct, Chairperson, yes, there are a number of subcategories for consultants. The main one that contributed to the 140% over expenditure is legal costs. That is being classified as a consultant service, and those are legal costs that we pay to the Department of Justice. You normally get the following for consultants and professional services, business and advisory services. There you will find translation and so forth, and also forensic accounting at DPCI or WALKS. Not really that one. Consultants and professional services, infrastructure planning, those are very, very small amounts. It's where they, you know, your cases and your architects and so forth. And then you also have your consultants and professional services, laboratory services. Members of the committee is well acquainted with the health accreditation process, which are being announced by the FSL, where you have proficiency testing in terms of a set of protocols for each and every business and a list in order to enhance that. It's also not that. But then you have consultants and professional services and legal costs. Now, the legal cost that was expended in the previous financial year was 165 million, which then had an overrun of 141%. That is a contributor in terms of consultant. It's not a consultant, as we know. Consultant is primarily legal cost, which contributed to it. That is in terms of the over expenditure and the cost in terms of this regard. Normally, you will also see some sort of a spontaneous, maybe not a direct, but a spontaneous correlation between civil claims and legal costs as well, because it all indicates pressure in terms of your litigation environment, so to speak. That is the figure in this regard. If I then just move on to the under, Chairperson, maybe I just expressed myself not correct. The fact is we say we trust that the DNA will add to all the other projects that there are, but the main under expenditure in this regard, if I may just give an indication to you, I do have a breakdown of the 232 million under expenditure. If one look at the environments, the main categories are basically four. The first one is for the IT environment, or the TMS environment. Now, they've done better than they previously did. They come in deep in the 90s. Then you have also the operational part, which you will find at the FSL and the CRC. The FSL came in also high. Your problem that we had was some delivery arrangements at the CRC where you had a 57% under expenditure level, which then contributed to the whole CJS. You have a compensation part and you have a general detective part. All of them came in quite reasonably high, but the big one was the CRC environment. If you want more specific items, we will have to give it to you, but I gave you an overview breakdown of that. So what you will find there, you will find that of all the sub-environments on CJS, they came in quite well, except the CRC environment for operational aspects. Now that's all about accounts in management, which will then give you a split on exactly what it was per item that did not realize in this regard. I think that is basically all
question from the Honourable Lekhetu on that question. Both you and the Commissioner skipped was the one on underspending in the program plan.
I think we're also doing that to look at the specifics. Let me just say, program five also did work because overall, whilst we had overspending in the other areas, as General Skevin had mentioned, that issues of fuel, oil, and all those gave rise to higher spending in other areas. We needed to make sure that overall we stay within, and I think maybe that also needed to be taken note of. But General Skevin can deal with those nuanced areas.
So normally PSS or protection security services, which are now individually speaking related also to the CIA environment but will be dissected again, be that as it may, I think the National Commission will elaborate on that. The fact of the matter is those unders, actually referring to the unders there. The unders in terms of operational support, that's their whole operational environment supporting the protectors, either mobile or static, and then also the government security regulator. In this regard, unders related basically to certain of the aspects which they've ordered which they've not realized. How can we secure it in time to come? I think to a large extent in this environment, how can we promote it? To a large extent is to get this staff establishment stable going forward. The moment you have a stable staff establishment, you also have to a large extent stable operational expenditures in this regard. And I think that is one way to do it, and then also maybe to increase a demand planning exercise in this regard, which we will then, when we do our review with the divisions, which we will then address to see where a specific problem was in terms of order and delivery. That is why we have those in this environment. I think that is what we will do there is to go and set the specific item per se in this regard. I don't have very small items with me. If I had it with me, one can derive and infer also from the specific aspect.
We're going to take a break for tea. It's just after 11:15. We'll be back 11:30. I want to request the department to be short in their answers and to the point. Because, Commissioner Skitter, really, your answer to this last question is not giving us an indication at all why there is underspending. So let's be precise. If you can't provide this information at this stage, let us know so that I add it to the list of things that you've got to think into. Members, we break for team back 11:30. Thank you. Order, please.
Madam Chair, this is not my question. It's a follow-up to the promise made by General Smith on the list of the civil claims. Because I've got information, Madam Chair, that there are many South Africans who want cases in court supposed to be paid by the police, but are not paid by the police. So when you bring me that list, I would like to, because you say 204. I don't know whether it's the money which you have already paid or they include money which you are still upholding, supposed to have been paid long ago to South Africans. Yeah.
Also, we don't have a bilateral here.
Madam Chair, my question is that on the... You said there's a 250 minute assistance for buildings, and I understand that the proper processes were followed. They did apply in terms of Section 43. But my question is, how did it happen that you would expect compensation that this money is very good post that has been funded and budgeted for? How did it happen that they put this money? Which means now that the figures gave us a building, because if you take this 250 and add, it means you have 550 million. That's my first question, Madam Chair. The second, Madam Chair, is the issue of bursary employees, 160. Why? What's 162%? Why? Because you would expect, again, those are things that have been budgeted for. You know that this year we are going to give so many bursaries. The issue of catering. I don't go back to that again. 155%.
on catering. What did you have which was not planned for, which just happened overnight, then we have to spend that? Because you're talking about excess expenditure. Can you, there are two questions, Madam Chair. I'll stop there.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The Commissioner said, certainly concerns, and that they started the litigation report for as a management tool, which I welcome. I'm a bit surprised that we only have it now. It should have been there long ago. But my follow-up question to the Commissioner is, Chairperson, receiving this litigation report, and yourself said you're quite worried about the image of the police services. I think we're all worried about that. I've asked a question to the Minister of Police on litigation on civil claims against the South African Police Services, and then I've asked him if any disciplinary steps have been taken against those members of the police services who were guilty of certain acts, and that's why we had this civil claims. And his answer was, no action has been taken against those members. Now I'm asking the Commission, why don't we take any measures? Because it's very serious. It's offences actually like assault, unlawful arrest. And I think if there is one thing that punishes the image of the public is when we have to do with so many unlawful arrests. So it's very important for me to know what steps are taken against those members of the police services. My second question, Chairperson, and bear with me, but this is important. I've asked questions before, and I've heard what General Skutter said about the legal costs and everything. Now my question is, the legal costs of Jackie Selebi are 17.5 million. Did the police write the time is written off? What happened with that? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is also, my first grant is also on catering. You have an expenditure on catering and an expenditure on food supply. What is the difference? My second question is, why do you have such high expenditure on your transfers to provinces and municipalities? Thanks.
Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you will bear with me. I didn't get the answer on the e-docket. What did the National Commissioner say about the e-docket? This is a run-over question which was asked by the Chairperson before. I just wanted to get a clear answer on that one, so that because we know exactly where we are. But my question, Chairperson, comes from consultants. What are we consulting for? If you can get specific on consultants, so that we know exactly what we're talking about and so on. I hope it's not public works and so on. I hope it's something else. Secondly, Chairperson, in border policing, how far we are as police, the border policing? Where are we? Is the agreement now going to the conclusion? Where are we in this matter? Because I know that it's been quite years now where we are supposed to hand over the border policing to South African National Defence Force and so on. How far we have gone in this matter? Thank you very much.
Let's go to the panel.
I just have one question. It's in relation to Mido Masia, the Mozambican who was dragged off by his hands and then subsequently beaten to death. I've had numerous conversations with him, and to date he has yet, with his brother, I beg your pardon. I've had numerous conversations with his brother, and apologies again. I have had numerous conversations with his brother, his young wife, his son. It seems he's being advised through pressure from Mozambique not to put in a civil claim. And I would like to know if there's any knowledge in this room of pressure brought to bear perhaps by the South African government or by the Mozambican government on the South African government to try and ensure that he does not put through a civil claim in order to try and ensure that the widow and the young child, the young son, actually are paid out compensation for the murder of the husband and father. So I'm very interested to hear, because the pressure is being brought to bear on him not to go to SAT to launch a civil claim, and I would like to know where that pressure is coming from.
I also have more questions that I would like to ask. The question, and it comes back, actually it's a question that I indicated that you did not answer, is the question that the Honourable Legator put. You put on the under expenditure, but I'm interested in the over expenditure. Specifically, you must explain to us the over expenditure for the government security regulator, specifically the VIP protection service, one can understand to some extent in terms of the fuel costs, etc. But can you give us a clear explanation on those issues? I have also listened very carefully to the answers that you've given in terms of both yourself and the National Commissioner in terms of capital projects, specifically in the building environment. Now, the SIU's interim report is out, and I'm concerned because I'm listening very carefully and I'm hearing about negotiations to take certain things and do certain things yourselves. And I want to refer you to that report, and I quote from that report. The Devolution of Powers Investigation Report reveals that SAPS did not have the required authority to construct its own police stations. And there are numerous ones of you sitting in this meeting today, of this management, who were here before when we discussed this issue, who told us over and over and over again that you had the authority to do so. Yet the SIU's interim report is stating that all expenditure incurred by SAPS for construction of police stations amounts to irregular and or unauthorized expenditure. Quoting from the report, how are we going to make sure that, and yes, public works have problems. We all acknowledge that. But we also know from the meeting that we've had with you in 2019 around buildings, and when we did an analysis of those police stations built by SAPS versus those police stations built by Public Works, that in fact SAPS were 3 times more expensive, took at least 2 to 3 times as long to complete. As bad as Public Works were, they came in lower cost and a quicker delivery time. Can we get an explanation? Because it also is not your core business. And we want to make sure that SAP sticks with its core business. Your core business is policing. How are we making sure that that we do not have the occurrence of this? Secondly, in the same vein, I also heard Commissioner Schutte talk about reprioritization as a problem. And I agree, and I think that committee agrees to it. Because we've said to you before, part of the problem is every time that you've got a new provincial commissioner, provincial commissioner reprioritizes police stations that must be built. And this committee, and it will come out when we do the recommendations report as well, recommended then that priority list be fixed, that it be fixed for a period of at least 5 years, and that there be a process, if you want to change priorities, of going to a committee within the South African Police Service, applying to that committee for reprioritization with adequate reasons why it's necessary, etc. Now you're talking reprioritization as if it's a new thing. It's not a new thing. We've told you that. Also 2019, 11 again, 12 again, that this is one of the problems. Why we're not getting police stations to be finished. What has been done in terms of the reprioritization of the building of police stations? Second question, Commissioner Schutte, is related to the issue, National Commissioner, of catering. There's also use of facilities. It was the same, under the same point. It's catering, it's renting of facilities, etc. there's also a huge over expenditure there, conference facilities, etc., etc. Why that? Can we get an explanation? I mean, you've got numerous facilities that you can use yourself, including the police colleges. Why is it necessary for you to go outside of those? And where have they been spent? Venues and facilities, 167%. Almost double. 1.5 times more. So we can get an explanation. But then the last question I want to ask you on this issue is the issue of compensation. You've got 100% to have a compensation. Now, I found that, I don't know whether it's a good or a bad thing, but I find it almost unbelievable. Because you've got vacancies. You make savings when you have vacancies. Plus, we've all heard about this internal report that we haven't seen that's saying that you've got people in positions that there are no positions for. What is the actual situation in terms of compensation? Can we get clarity on that issue?
Thank you, Chairperson, for all those other questions that have been raised. General Fetter will deal with details around issues of catering and facilities, but I just want to mention that we use our facilities quite extensively. And we do use other facilities. At any given time, the circumstances and the requirements of a particular meeting may dictate that other than using our own facilities, we use others. But we use both very, very well. And at any given time, I think there's a lot of prudence that goes into it. I do not believe that within SAPS there is any abuse of any manner in terms of use of facilities. So I'd like to say, you know, when I'm sitting with the NMS at times, when I'm sitting with them for meeting that finishes off at 11, I have to respect the fact that I would not be asking people to travel at 11, 12 at night. So there are some of those things that I take into account, and I believe that as the accounting officer, understanding clearly the prescriptions in terms of efficient and effective use of resources, I do try and be very prudent in taking some of those decisions. And even where portfolios are taking such decisions, they're very clear processes in terms of taking those decisions as well as giving authority for those type of aspects. Our facilities are very, very well used, sub-facilities. I can say that to this committee.
I'm going to make a ruling, National Commissioner, that you please stick with the questions in order that they've been asked. You now respond to my last question.
Oh, my apologies, Chairperson. It was my eyes that let me down. Let me go back to your first question. There was raised an issue, or let me go back to, in fact, I started right at the back. Let me go to the order of questions as they have been asked. The very first one is around civil claims. Asking the list, we are willing to share our civil claims report, Honorable Mulekin, then we can make that available to yourself. But the claims that you were asking questions about, the 240 is money that has been paid to the people. And we can share a little bit more. We can write to expound on that question that you have given us. Buildings around, you asked questions around buildings 550 as well as 160 buzzeries and issues of catering. I'll ask General Sketty just to talk to that, then I'll go to the next question from Mr. Grunewald. General Sketty.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just looking at my notes. Now, just indicating, the first thing is composition that was asked, but I also address that when we do the chairperson's question about composition at compensation, sorry, at the end. The second one then, or the one then after subsequent one, was then the bursaries per se. Now, the bursaries per se, yes, we look at the expenditure level of a previous year and the number of people that normally qualify. There's a policy in place. But as the training, the skills development plans and the training provisional plans are coming in, then sometimes it might be because we the focus and the emphasis is on more training, it might then very, very well be that we exceed the number, obviously, knowing that funds would be made available and could be applied in that regard. That also obviously includes training of detectives and analysts and so forth, where we sometimes exceed that specific number in terms of the training. Now, the training in this regard, and maybe we should up the baseline in this regard, because we are a growing learning organization and try to put our money where our mouths are. If I look at the bursaries, it was basically 3 million versus 4.8 million that we eventually expended in this regard. And it constitutes a number of learners in this regard. So all I can say is that at the end of the day, yes, more bursaries were allocated, but fully knowing because there has to be financial authorization before such bursaries are being allocated, especially in the HRT environment, because all the divisions, business units in the police compile it and send it to HRT, and if that was what it was allocated. Maybe a baseline of 3 million in this regard should be lifted, should be increased for such a big organization. And that is actually what our response in this regard would be. Becoming catering as a number of members indicated, is a very important aspect. And as we've previously indicated, or in previous years, catering and entertainment was basically one under one category. At that time, because both in essence reflect food and beverages. Now, catering reflects, as we stand here, as a definition of reflecting catering for departmental activities. With entertainment reflects food and beverages for the minister, management, and missions abroad. Now, in the previous financial year, I've looked at the split, because if you add the two together, you will see that it's actually not that much in terms of increases. The catering in 12-13 was 28.366 million. The budget in 13-14, and members will remember we had a debate about this, then we dropped to 17.6 in the 13-14 financial year. And entertainment was 1.6 and we increased it to 12.7. That gives you 29.9 million in the previous financial year vis-a-vis 30.553. Now, if you add the two together, in essence, you are basically still in the same vicinity of expenditure level. And what we have said also at the time, when we were before the portfolio committee in respect of the E&E for 13-14, is that we will look at that thing, that split, and we will correct it. Now, we have already started to see how we can correct the split between the two, because both that in fact reflects food and beverages, but I think our split was not correct in this regard. And therefore, the one is under to a large extent year on year, and the one is over. If you look at budget versus actual, may I just say that catering as well as entertainment, there were a number of additionals that came to the forefront. We had the 1,500 conference of top stations in Kempton Park, which also added in the previous financial year, with new priorities being conveyed to them. We had also a payment in terms of the International Association of Women Police in this regard, which are once-off event which required significant funding in 12-13 and also in 13-14. And then we also have HIV and disability awareness campaigns, together also with Imbizus and other aspects in this regard. I think to a large extent, sticking to a baseline in terms of adding additions would probably be a sound approach, because at this point in time, I think there are certain aspects that we have to fund in addition to the baseline. Therefore, additional aspects which require catering and also venues and facilities, because you then have to hire an additional venue and you have to also pay for catering in this regard. So there were additions. Unforeseen additions, so remember this budget was prepared a year before, and some additions came to the forefront, also with new priorities and management approach in this regard. May I just say that we will have to look at the baseline of catering as well as entertainment in order to address these aspects, together with venue and facilities, because they are indeed a bit more than previously the case. That is in terms of catering as well as bursaries. May I just indicate, food supplies per se, one of the members requests what's the difference between catering and food supplies. Food supplies to a large extent refer to rat packs. Those are those mobile packets that you can have when you go out and you put people in the field. So those are food supplies, those are not catering per se, and that's the difference in terms of the definition where you invest your expenditure. So if you buy rat packs, for members to deploy, for instance, in the field or whatever, it is food supplies. Transfers to provinces and municipalities, sir, yes, it is a bit over as a small item. The reason being because transfers, payments to transfers, or payments to provinces and municipalities, apologize, relates to payment of licenses. And licenses sometimes come in a bit more expensive than one would have thought, and therefore you have that over, but coming from a low base, so to speak. Consultants, so as I've indicated also to the chairperson, it is not consultants. As we see consultants, the main cost driver and the consultants are legal practitioners, which we procure via the state attorney to a large extent, and we pay them in as consultants for the legal services they provide. So that is the expenditure on the legal costs. May I indicate, I don't know whether I have indicated that the legal cost for the previous financial year was 165.684 million. 165 million. The other expenditure in the government security regulator, precisely, Chair, I would just have you, not trying to infer, but get it precisely and provide it to the committee. In terms of the capital with SIU report, I think the National Commission has already indicated that, and maybe would further indicate, so to speak, and I will after that then also refer to compensation.
I'm not going to ask a question, but you see, the first unanswered question is a letter. But I realize now there's more generalization and not answering the question. We're talking figures here. If you say this 162.5%, we expect you to say this is of your budget report, why it increased to this extent. Not the general statement that is made. For instance, on compensation, it's still going to come to it, but I'm just making a plea, Madam Chair.
I think the department did that. Can we, and I think it also relates to the fact that I've asked, let's be precise and short about our answers. Commissioner, you want to continue, please?
Chairperson, thank you. There were questions around disciplinary steps, verification report, disciplinary steps, no action, issues around the behavior of members on unlawful arrest and assault. I must say that's a very, very, very intricate situation, because in this process you find a lot of legal touting that is also taking place. We are trying to wrestle with that, to understand the dynamic where our own members are being used by the legal fraternity to draw money from some, almost like your ref situation, when we realize that we have huge challenges. Part of using that litigation report is to start checking which lawyers are repeatedly being used and in which areas, in which stations, with which members, with which clients. So we're trying to also analyze that. It's one of the sub-problems over and above the bigger problem around litigation. So the whole issue around litigation in subs requires intensive and more in-depth investigation and understanding. And I think that just the litigation report has started teaching us a number of things, and I'm hoping that when we get to some point and we start understanding keenly, we would be able to give feedback. On issues of disciplinary steps, part of what we are doing, I have mentioned, as I answered earlier, on to say it is now a management information report. Whereas there hasn't been a process like that, I am requiring the commanders from where this is happening to do certain things. What we have started doing is to build a lot of awareness, a lot of education, remedial counseling for members that get involved in similar circumstances, and we shall not overrule in time issues of looking at disciplinary processes dealing with it. I beg your pardon? No, I'm saying it's part of the package, and I'm actually saying I'm doing something about it. I'm leading that process. I don't believe that we've ever had these conversations internal to the organization. We are now having the conversations with leaders, and we are doing certain things. So it's not, I would say it's a journey, and we're very ready and determined to travel the journey.
Don't get sidetracked by members' comments, please. Stick with the topic. Members want to ask follow-up questions, I'll give them an opportunity.
Thank you. The second part of your question was around the litigation fees of Jackie Sileri. Yes, we have received the bill of 17.4 million, as you have indicated. And as you would know, the basis of giving that type of support, according to government prescripts, is where you succeed, you would be given certain conditions or something, you know, you would be not made to pay certain things. Where you don't succeed, you also, there are certain conditions that are attached to that. The 17.4 million is everything. So we entered into the engagement with lawyers, because you would recall that the case has, you know, different levels. There are areas where the member has been successful. There are areas where the member has not been successful. So that process is taking place. The second part of that relates to asking the lawyer to ask to advise us on the affordability, because we have to ask that. Are they able to afford the payment of that? So on the basis of that, then, of that response, we then would sit down to say they've disaggregated, they have analyzed the account, they have given us their report in terms of affordability, non-affordability. On the basis of that, then as the accounting officer, I must consider and make a decision. Look at what the PFMA allows me to do based on the facts that are before me, and take that decision, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to take that decision pretty soon. The questions from Mema Bulibasi, I think, have been touched on. But for the transfers, General Skete, there was a twin question from Mema Bulibasi around the transfers to provinces and municipalities. So if you could just note it and touch on that one. And then you asked a question around the e-docket, to say you didn't quite hear what we were saying about the e-docket.
I'm going to answer it in two parts. A, I'm going to ask Major General Mavunda to just give a quick summary of where ETMS we are in terms of this e-locate story. B, I'll just reiterate what I've said in terms of what is on my dashboard as a priority to deal with matters relating to e-policing, e-docket, and ensuring that on technology and management systems, we are getting our car rolling. Major General Mavunda, if you can just give that quick summary in terms of where we are on e-docket, and then I'll take the second part.
Thank you, General. Madam Chair, the e-docket is underway. It's being implemented partially. The outstanding functionalities have been identified, and we are dealing with them through the value chain of the IJS, and also the integrations that need to happen. As the National Commissioner has said, that the JCPS cluster has identified such integrations, they are underway.
If I could ask you to just say,
Honourable Mdlova, you don't even have to speak. Ma'am, you've said absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Where are we in terms of the e-dockets? Last time when you were here, we were told that there are implementation at so many stations. Then when we start interrogating that answer, it became obvious that there were no implementation, that it was actually just a rollout of scanners and of computers, no link up with ports, no nothing. So where do we stand?
Madam Chair, there are 185 stations where the e-docket is implemented. The pilot sites that are linking to Home Affairs and Justice are, as said, they are Kellenham and also the Mamelodi West, which the National Commission has alluded that the NMF will be going there to investigate as such.
I just want the committee to have clarity. So we have two stations after 12 years and billions of rand.
With the pilot mentioned that links to the value chain of IJS, because it is a value chain that the JCPS cluster identifies the critical priority areas that needs to be integrated to, it is so.
I don't want us to spend too much time on it. As you know, we are going to have a workshop with all the departments involved in this, with all the committees involved in this, for a full day with the CJS cluster and with the CJS board, where we will be interrogating this issue further, because it's not only this committee that has got serious problems and concerns around what is happening with these monies that have been sent to departments year after year. It's every single committee of every single department who are concerned about it. Correctional services, justice, police, home affairs. So I don't want to spend too much time on it. We will also request that we get a list of the 186 police stations.
Chairperson, I said I'm answering this question in two parts. I again want to put it on record that on my priority list is cabling the stations, because without cabling, you have no e-policy, you have no e-docket. So I have migrated some of the resources from some of the projects because, as a justice cluster system, we've also prioritized and sequenced what needs to be done first in order for us to achieve this integrated IGS system. So for that reason, on my part, the cabling of stations is critical, is cardinal, is primary. And I've already mentioned that the CETA has now finalized their tender. The tender is there, ready to roll out. What will stop us is probably sufficient money to do all of them all at once, but we will use the tech that is available to us to ensure that we cable the stations. It is very critical. We're also in conversation with people such as Telkom to look at our bandwidth, because if our bandwidth is not right, we're not going to be able to even use the cabling facilities that we are having. So we're exploring, we're looking at a number of things, but getting the basics right, Chairperson, that's what I can say. Later as it may be, we are getting the basics right, and we will be back here to give progress updates in terms of those basics that we've prioritized as such.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I think you've got to be clear on what the committee's concern is as well. Can you just switch off your microphone, please? We appreciate the fact that you're getting the basics right, and we're not blaming you for what we're saying here. But this project has been 12 years in the making. For in year 13, to get the basics right is a concern to us. It's a waste of money that has taken place that we need to acknowledge, because we have nothing to show for the millions, in fact, billions of rands that have been budgeted for this. There is no deliverables on the ground. And that is the concern that the committee has. We take note of what you're saying. We appreciate what you're saying. But I think you should also acknowledge that the committee is correct that it should not have happened 12 years after this project was started.
Chairperson, absolutely I acknowledge. And this is why my offer is really to say, as I appreciate this challenge, I spoke about the bilaterals who are heading, and it's not only myself. I think also the other JCPS class the cluster members are saying it's not probably for a lack of doing things, but probably a lack of coordinated and understanding and a flow of how things should happen. And I think we appreciate what you are raising. We are aware that Parliament is concerned, and this is why we are hard at work to ensure that we make this process ahead. It's critical for the safety and security cluster, and I acknowledge fully, Chairperson, the concern that you're raising. There was an issue around the border policing. Let me deal with the issue of, let me step back. General Skett has touched a certain look on the issue of consultants. It's around our legal costs. It's not ordinarily any other consultant, that's why he is. It's more our use of legal lawyers. That's the cost that we are talking about mostly in SAPS. Okay. On border policing, I can report to this committee that the process of the border management agency is well afoot, and we are participating in that process, looking at the role that SAPS will be playing in that area with the other stakeholders. And that process is going to assist us first to integrate our services and our participation as various stakeholders. Secondly, it's going to ensure that there is no scope creep in terms of the specialized roles of the individual stakeholders, SAPS, ourselves, Home Affairs, Defence, and all that. And I must say, just participating in that process and the planning of this GMA, I can almost say it is offering a very promising integrated platform of various agencies that has a role to play at the border. So we are actively participating in that process as well. There was a question around Midomasia, the civil claim, and the Mozambican government. On behalf of SAPS, I can say I am not aware of that, and I'm not able to offer any answer on that. Chairperson, the other questions that you mentioned around the over expenditure on GSR, General Skete has touched on that. He's also touched on capital projects. If it hasn't been sufficiently attended to, I'm sure we can do an addendum to add on to any other area that may have not been well answered. The SIU interim report we haven't quite received as such. But last week I called the person who's assisting us just to give to apprise me of this report, because I read about it in the newspaper. And the issues of devolution, as you highlighted, Chairperson, I pick up in that feedback. And I must say, we need to look at it from three angles. The first one is history, where they talk about devolution and no devolution. We noted that. We'll study their report when it comes in terms of that. The second part of my response to you is that currently we do have some formal devolution that has been given to us. So we can talk about that and also articulate where what devolution we've been given and how we are performing in terms of it. The third aspect is what General Cruiser also referred to say we are seeing other areas where we are negotiating with them to give us extended devolution to do certain things. So the devolution mechanism is saying historically there could have been issues. We would like to look at the report to see what the report is saying, where the glitches could have been, and then we'll be able to offer a response in terms of that. But the second part and whatever is well in hand, the current devolution is well managed, is structured, is documented, is agreed upon between the parties, and it's within the law. Even the extension that we are discussing will be within the law and will be contracted upon. The other question, Chairperson, that you asked was around the building stations by SAPS versus by DPW. And within that, you raised the issues of core business. On that one, Chairperson, I'd like to say we can't find ourselves in a quandary. And the quandary we find ourselves in is linked to some of the devolution debates that I had mentioned today. Do we sit and wait for this turnaround that is going to take forever to happen, or do we start looking at the limited capacity that we're having and offer to assist and in areas where we think we can assist, and that's where the devolution does come in. We acknowledge, Chairperson, that it's not our core business, but we also acknowledge that there are certain things we can do to ensure that we unblock service delivery for that. On reprioritization, Chairperson, I'd like to say, yes, we have reprioritized. And I would like to say going forward, it will be a thing of the past that the list depends on who is the new leader of SAP. We have agreed we can share with this committee our prioritization, and I think it shall remain as static as we are proposing. We have shared it with the MIMEC. We have shared it with management to start saying we have a priority and we have a process of determining, you know, which police stations we are building when, and we shall stick with that, and we will continue. We will give you reports on how what we will file the prioritization list, and we will progressively report on how we are doing in terms of dealing with that one. I've touched on the last question by ERA Chairperson, because that's where I started on the catering and use of facilities. There was a question around compensation. Maybe I didn't get it correct. I don't know if General Skelly, you've dealt with that one. Okay, thanks. Respond.
If I may use a current practical example, as we are sitting here, we are already starting to do the database for next year E&E in this whole NDF process. The same happened last year. What we take into account is we do line item, costing from zero on the compensation environment. We take into account assumptions with regard to basic salary, pension, service bonus for next year, cost of living provision, pay progression, enlistments of the Police Act, estimated losses, enlistments of CRC and FSL specific earmark amounts, appointments of PSA, estimated losses of the PSA. Why difference? Why do we differentiate? Because of different unit costs. Medical funds, overtime. We're still going to do the African Nations Championship in 2040 before the end of the financial year. We take a viewpoint on housing subsidy, rental allowance, and other allowances such as case skill Sunday work and so forth. pay rate for Sunday work, and then certain miscellaneous items, long service payments, promotions and carry through, scarce skills, and then certain other obligations. We're already doing this for 14-15. We make assumptions and we see how we go forward. If necessary, we make adjustments during the year. So in terms of 74% of the vote, we have to do this line item costing. Now, the 100% referring there is by means of rounding off. Now, it's still very, very close. In some years, we will be a bit under. The reason being is we cannot increase compensation if we don't have approval from the National Treasury. And it's very tough to get approval. We do all these aspects. We take it into account. During the year, we manage to get to use our full budget in this respect. So, to a large extent, there's also some luck in it, but also a lot of preparation in order to get to a scenario and managing during the year, even taking into account the adjustment system where Parliament is assisting us to get to where we say we can utilize 100% of our compensation in this regard. Can I assure members that we do this exercise, we monitor this compensation very closely, and we do this costing from zero, basically every quarter, in order to see what the progressions are and what the progressions are not. And in this regard, we have been able to expect the full amount on compensation. As I said, it's very difficult. You're taking a lot of money. In this regard, 46 billion, and you estimate. As we sit here, we're already estimating for next year. It is trusted. And I do have the figures here, if somebody wants it. The fact of the matter is very difficult, but we are appreciative of the fact that we did indeed extend the full amount on compensation, Chairperson. This is basically what we use. Yes, there are certain dynamics in your compensation environment, obviously specific of nature, and also, for instance, one item is, if we now already sitting here and we have to estimate what the amount for the next financial year is going to be in terms of salary increases, the Treasury gives us an indication, but once the Public Health Bargaining Council sit and you get a negotiated settlement, then the eventual percentage increase comes to the forefront, and usually it has to be topped up. So in this regard, Chair, may I just say that we have been able to perform that. Those are actual payments. Obviously, there's still in time to come during legislative oversight. There's still the whole thing on the stabilization and normalization also of our staff establishment. So there's a number of aspects, but in this regard, these figures have been checked and ordered that they are indeed compensation expenditures, falling within classification. I hope it's...
Members, I want to start with the fourth quarter, but there are still, I'm pretty sure, questions that people have. I mean, I know I have some more, but maybe we can deal with them when we deal with the first quarter of this financial year. But I want to summarize this part of the meeting so that we can carry on. National Commissioner, we need to receive from yourselves a breakdown of consultants, the amounts and the total amount. And I would also suggest that the time period for that consultants. Because I'm concerned that we refer to legal costs as the main cost driver for consultants, that we're not referring, for instance, to your consultants within the CFR space. Central Final Registry Space. They are another thing. We need to look at them as well. Secondly, we want a prioritized list for capital building projects, start dates, finalization dates. The underspending at CRC, what was it on? It's one of those questions that I wanted to ask, because I'm very concerned. Because I'm also hearing that the Morpher system is not working because the contract hasn't been paid. Now, if that's the case, we're in serious trouble. The understanding in program 5, explanation on this. The whole, the list of civil claims that the Honourable George has asked for, and also the Honourable Groenewald has referred to, the list of those claims, amounts payout versus the legal costs. So we're talking about the claim, the actual court decision or your settlement decision, the amount, plus your legal costs for those. Another issue is the issue of catering versus entertainment versus conferences, because again, we listened carefully to your answer, and you spoke about this women, International Women in Policing Conference. Now, shouldn't that be under conference costs? We want the breakdown of that as well, of the catering versus entertainment versus conference, and let me explain what we want. We want to know what was spent where and for what purpose. So if it was a management meeting, if it was training for detectives, training for detectives, etc. Your bursary answer, Commissioner Skitter, also raised more questions than answers, because bursaries is external, it's not internal, and your answer focused on internal. And bursaries would start at the beginning of the year, not in the middle of the year. So the under-budgeting for it and the over-expenditure of it is not making sense, so we need a full explanation of that. E-docket, the project plan. Delivery linked with the dates that you expected to be done. List of the 185 stations. We've taken note of Mamelodi West and Caledon, and maybe members we should try and fit in a visit to either one of us to go and see ourselves what is happening there. Also, with the e-docket, we would also like to see clearly understand with which courts they are already linked us. Devolution. Commissioner, National Commissioner, you indicated that you are now, there is now legal devolution. We would like to have a clear indication of what that entails, what is the agreement, what is the performance, and the project plan. In other words, this is what we are going to do at this stage. Commissioner Skip, another thing that is not reflected in any of the presentations is the deployment of peacekeeping forces and the cost thereof. And we're raising that because that came to many of us as a surprise in the beginning of the year, as you would know, when we dealt with the budget. So we would like to have some clarification on what we spent as well. Then in terms of your employment issue, because you didn't respond to my question around this internal report that's going around, that I can assure you, if it's going around with the media, members soon will have copies of it as well. We've asked this from other entities that is reporting to us as well, is for the previous financial year, on a month-to-month basis, your number of funded posts and the monetary value they do. The number of vacancies for that month and the monetary value there too. The number of actual members at that month and the monetary value there too. Okay, we will talk about, when we write for lunch, I'll speak to the National Commissioner about a realistic deadline for these things. I just don't want to say next week Friday, and then it's not possible to do so. So we'll talk about that when we break for lunch. Can we, Commissioner?
Chairperson, the issue you raised around the report, let me just say, I had thought that when we deal with my next presentation, which will be talking about people, I will talk about the project that I initiated when I got into SAPS, which I called the normalization and harmonization of establishment, because as you would know, I have a responsibility in terms of the Act, in terms of the regulatory prescripts, to ensure that the establishment is set. But I will touch on that when I do the next aspect on restructuring. My apologies for not touching on it.
That's fine. We will touch on it, but we still would require that report to come to us so that we have the actual funded posts versus vacancies versus et cetera, et cetera. So we definitely need that. Because it raises the question, Commissioner, and the reason why we're asking that question as well is this whole issue around public service personnel asking for the compensation that's supposed to be going to police and the fact that it's been signed or it's alleged that it's been signed, et cetera. So if we, members, is there anything that you feel that I've left out in terms of additional information? Everybody's up. Okay, then let's go to the first quarter of this financial year. I'm going to request again, we are looking at this because we've got to look at it in terms of the BRR. We're absolutely not necessarily going to go in the same detail as we've done now with the fourth quarter, but I will also allow members to ask questions after the presentation. Commissioners, it's good.
Thank you, Chair. The first slide that we have got here is really an indication again of the current year's 12 outcomes of government, and then where three basically are applicable to the SAPS, and primarily specifically one, which says all people in South Africa are and feel safe. This is the first reference in order merely to sensitize again or bring raise awareness regarding this very important delivery outcome by government given. And the second one is what informs the strategic direction outcome three priority outputs, and we have also referred included it in the fact, the reason being so that members can merely just acquaint themselves again, although they possibly know it by heart. At this point. So then we also refer to the 10 priorities of the minister and the SAP strategic priorities as included in the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. Excellent. We refer once again to programs and goods and services which we've dealt with in the previous presentation. Now we look at the new appropriation and the estimates and then the expenditure as of June 2030. Program 1 and the linear benchmark indicates a 25%. Now, we all are using the 25% portfolio committee, police, national treasury, DPSA, performance evaluation and monitoring in the office of the president, and we usually use that in order to see are we in front or are we a bit behind in this regard. Program 1 currently standing at 3.6 billion. Or 21.2% of the allocation of 17.3 billion. Then program 2, visible policing, 25%, 7.8 billion of the 31.5 billion. Program 3, detective services, 24.1 billion of, or 3.4% of 3.4 billion of 14.3 billion. Program 4, crime intelligence, 661 million or 24.4%. of the 2.715 billion, and then program 5, protection and security services, 507 million, or 25.8% of the allocation for the program, all in all 16.1%, with at least 67.9%, or 23.8% in terms of the total estimate, the total amount for the vote. When we look at graphic and illustration or pie charts, one would immediately see that the blue part is the part that still has to be expended, and the ratio, the yellow part, is the part that has already been expended in this regard. Now, merely on a visual observation, one would immediately see that program 1 is a bit behind in this regard, whilst the other programs, more or less, are quite on track as the author of that pie chart should in fact have been expended based on a specific linear approach in this regard. Now, I see it's cutting off again there. I'm going to have to read it.
Front of this, so just continue, please. Okay.
We once again have referred to the economic classification and the narrative part thereof, the reason being that it is important in order to interpret the context of specific figures regarding the economic
expenditure compensation, put 7 in front at 25.7, goods and services is a bit behind at 19.5, transfers and subsidies, provincial and local at 26.9, departmental agencies at 24.9, households at 31.9, payment for capital assets at 11%, buildings and fixed structures at 10.8, machinery and equipment at 11.1, and then biological assets, no expenditure yet. That provides us with a 23.8% in this regard. Your capital, as we indicated, your capital asset environment, where machinery and equipment, buildings and fixed structures are always in your first quarter lagging behind. On the machinery and equipment, and we've said it also in previous financial years, there is a challenge or a problem, so to speak, is not foreseen. In previous financial years, it was the same tendency, and eventually came in at 100% and even above. So machinery and equipment, we then use as buildings and fixed structures, are currently at 10.8%, and further elaboration will have to be provided of what we do and have in the pipeline in order to have this even better than last year in terms of the expenditure level on police facilities. If we look at the households, once again, it is in front. The legal costs, the sole claims are indeed high in this regard. Members of the committee must please note that that sole claims are indeed high, and we shall have been paid thus far.
I think the question will also come, therefore I can just as well indicate.
The amount, I will just find it, but the fact that it is in front, it is significantly in front, that is why we are already standing at 31.9% in this regard. So if you look at the two basically, your risks are with households, where you have your civil place, and then also you have at your buildings and fixed structures, which require intervention of a very, very high order. Machinery equipment, I say again, because 1.3 billion of that approximately, even more, is for vehicles, and we have never under-expended on machinery and equipment. Then in terms of your current expenditure, I think compensation looks in order, and goods and services are a bit lagging behind. And there's, again, the CJ's environment, which I have to update and progress at a more expedient pace than previously in order to get that earmarked expenditure as close as 100% or even 100% if at all possible in this regard. Although indicative of nature, the expenditures of each quarter in a financial year will not be precisely equal, nevertheless, it remains thresholds against which we evaluate ourselves. Total cumulative spending in the first quarter is 23.8% of the allocated budget after 3 months, which is similar to previous financial years. Compensation of the employee, actual spending for period comprises 25.7% and allocated budget and is fairly on course. The spending on goods and services comprises 19.5% of the allocated budget, and CJS, Criminal Justice System Revamp spending is below the linear benchmark. The spending pressures are being experienced as a result of the increase in the price of crude oil. It's a dual scenario that we sit with under that goods and services. Members will know, I think there was some time ago an 84% increase, so it's eating us hot under fuel and oil, but simultaneously there's also an under in terms of the criminal justice system. The transfers and subsidies in line with the linear benchmark, if you look at the overall picture, but within you have your household scenario where you have your civil claims which are in front, and then we say payment for capital assets comprises 11% of the allocated budget, police and infrastructure lower than expected, and machinery equipment, historical spending tendencies reflect increased spending during the latter part of the financial year as delivery of vehicles, a major portion takes place. This is a normal trend, and an under-expenditure of this item is not a real risk. This is an overview of the economic classification regarding the first quarter of the police. Yeah. If one again look at the capital expenditure, and here's the comparative analysis which we also included in order to give a comparative to members of the committee. A low first quarter is similar to previous financial years,
But what has happened, if you look at that fourth quarter of 11-12, whether it be 12-30, one will see that at least that fourth quarter expenditure is decreasing, which is a good thing, because you don't want everything in the latter part. However, the delivery arrangements in quarters 2, 3, and 4 improved in the 12-13-14 financial year. So the first quarter year is 11.6, it was 9.4 previously, and if you go to 13-14, above it's 11%. So it's 9.4 and 11%. If we look at previous financial years cumulative for first quarters, one would immediately see that the amount is quite similar. For each month of the 3 months of the quarter. So you see 8, 7, 8, 15, 15, 15, 15, 22, 22, 23, 23, 23. It is quite similar in this regard, which is a trend that we have had in recent financial years. If we now look at the whole property scenario, and we kept the format the same, so for instance, in order also to make comparisons between first quarter and fourth quarter, if you so desire, one would immediately see that our maintenance of property rights, we stand at 22.4, municipal services at 25.2, property leases at 16.8%, and then also at capital works at 10.7%, 11% around the top. In terms of the three above, especially the maintenance and the municipal services, they are fairly on track, and it's all dependent upon when we receive our invoices and can be paid. Because normally we receive all our invoices within the year, but something could be late, and in the sense that you will only receive the third month in the fourth month. Be that as it may, the first three is not the real risk in this regard. The capital works line item is actually the real risk. And that is why we say underneath, we say there, office accommodation reflects normal trends and in line. Spending on leases represents two claims for April and May 2013, whilst June 2013 claim was paid in July, the subsequent month. We received it late. So it's actually only two invoices, there's no commitment in the chairperson, it's actual expenditure. But the third one has only been received in the subsequent month. That's why we say that eventually, if you look at quarters 2 and 3, that is a trick, and I don't think there will be a problem. But capital works is below the linear benchmark, and that is the one that we have to manage within the demarcated powers that we have in this regard. Now, we say, what has happened here? And what can we do? Some of the measures and the interventions are the following. Project task teams were established. There's a first quarter assessment in process in terms of the projects. The project office has tasks to oversee all projects from an L&E perspective. Again, NDPW interaction also on a high level. And NDPW promised us dedicated technical aspects, architects and QSs, to a certain extent that will be able to progress with us. Now, these are some of the steps taken in terms of the low spending pattern within our demarcated functions that we have as a user department. If we now go to the IJS and the CJS once again, because that is the golden step, the capital works, property environment, as well as your IJS CJS, one would immediately see that the CJS at this point in time is 16.8%. I think it's better than last year, but it's not nearly at 25. And the IJS is standing at 3.8%. All in all, 14.8% in terms of the environment. May I just say that the Treasury has put in certain provisos. The provisos effective from 2013-14 financial year, National Treasury interviews conditions for utilization of this funding. So it's even more strict than before. Report required detailing projects, funding, allocations, project plans and timelines. Quarterly reporting on expenditure and project implementation per project. Spending only allowed once Treasury notice is received. We have received the notice and spending is proceeding. Spending progress
lacking at the time of adjustment estimate funds to be declared as savings. Below the linear benchmark, if you look at Program 1 administration, 70% ministry, management at 22.6, corporate services at 21.2, office accommodation at 21.3, and the total at 21.2. And within this program, the rest are as indicated previously under the economic classification. Below linear benchmark, below linear benchmark, as we said, mainly as a result of the capital works in the property environment and the IJS, which is allowed. Program 2, verbal policing. This program is quite fairly adequately on track with 25, 25.7, 24.8, and total 25, and we can therefore conclude this as in line with a linear benchmark. Program 3, detective services, lending performance, quite in line with a linear benchmark except for the CJS, because the CJS funds are here, impacting and forensic services, science laboratory, and criminal record center. Now, the crime investigations, looking good at 25.2. The CRC and NSL are below 21.9 and 1 respectively. Specialized investigations are not that bad and fairly on track at 23.5. So once again, it is a CJS impact here, nothing more than the program, so to speak. Next one. Program 4, criminal intelligence spending performance. CI is 24.5, 24.3, 24.4. I think one can conclude here to say it's quite in line with our linear benchmark as at the end of the first quarter. Program 5, protection and security services. Spending performance, VIP protection services, 28, static and mobile at 24.7, government security regulator at 25.6, and in operational support at 22.4, but behind all of all 25.8, in line with the learning benchmark for the programs. That's at the end of the first quarter. Thank you, Chairperson. This is the first quarter, then an overview of the first quarter.
I want to determine whether lunch is ready before we take questions, because then otherwise I will have to interrupt halfway through the questions. Can you just check for us quickly? It's taking the first round of questions. We can take the answers then when we get back from lunch. So let's take the first round of questions. Members' hands. Honourable Groenewald, Honourable Quillip Barnard, anybody else? And myself, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not clear on Program 3 of the detective services, the spending. On the Criminal Record Center and the Forensic Science Laboratory, the underspending. Can we just get some more information and elaborate why that is underspending? Because as far as I'm concerned, for instance, Forensic Science Laboratory, I would think that they would have overspent at this time. Thank you.
Ms. Kulabana?
Two issues. In the previous quarter looked at, there seemed to be a number of shifts to compensation for employees from the various structures. That's not happening at this stage, but is there any way to project, looking forward, if you will end up with that same sort of difficulty, or were there particular difficulties that you were faced with? And secondly, you referred to public works, the dreaded public works. We've had report after report of police officers locked out because basically public works forget to pay the leases. You know, I understand you've met with them, but are you having any luck at all with them? I mean, it's been like talking to a wall for years. And to hear and read of police officers working in their vehicles or parked outside the station because the lease has expired, and they now have month-to-month leases. So at the end of every month, someone's got to remember to pay it. It seems it's become a really ludicrous situation, very demoralizing for police who now find themselves locked out and on the street.
Is there any other member with a question, Honourable, before I ask mine, Honourable?
Chairperson,
I had the respondent integrated the justice system, but it seems as if we're the problem. If you analyze it properly, you see that it's going down instead of improving. On this one, it's 3.8%, which is lesser than last term. Is there any problem? Maybe if there is a problem, let us hear what the problem is, so that we are able maybe to understand exactly. Because some of the items that are accrued within the police are in the integrated justice system. Therefore, if there is a problem of communication or implementation or whatever, let us hear about it, because it seems as if the spending is very low and the amount therefore is not being used. Is there really a problem? Thank you.
Any other member? Okay, then my question, first question, is the goods and services. There's problematic spending in this first quarter and the goods and services. Consultants, business and advisory, you stand at 34.6%. Laboratory services, 238.6%. That is a 21.2% projected expenditure. Legal cost, 78% against 30% projected cost. Now, where we have the problems in terms of delivery, you're underspending. Consultants, infrastructure and planning, 0.4% against a 10.5% projected figure. Then there's breaded food supplies, 7.1% against a 41.6% projected figure. In imagery medical supply, 0.9% against 18.6% projected. Operating payments, which are not even clear what it is, 13.7% against 25.9%. So even though your overall figure might look okay, if we look at the detail of it, there's problems. Can we get explanations on the over-expenditures and the huge over-expenditures for consultants, business and advisory, consultants laboratory, consultants legal cost, especially since we've just been told about the projects that you've, the programs that you've put in place to make sure that we have better spending under these issues. And then catering departmental activities, 20.8% already, against a 12% projected. And then the under expenditures, as I listed them. Can I get an indication, are they there now? Are they out? Okay, then I would suggest that we, is there any other question that any member wants to raise now? Okay, then I would suggest that we break for lunch. It's 1 o'clock, just past 1. Are they ready? Sorry?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, so that's fine. Let us take a break. It's just after 1 o'clock. Can we be back 25 to 2?